So, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We're working on a wonderful section in the book that, when Excel is seated, we'll have her introduce herself so we get an idea who she is. Working on a wonderful section of the book tonight, you guys, where you get to claim your devotion. You get to see if it's in you, you know. This is, Course in Miracles is very personal. Any spiritual journey is very personal. A Course in Miracles is a spiritual journey. It's a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening, no less.
You get to claim your devotion, huh?
You get to claim your devotion. See, the reason why that's so important is because on your way to your spiritual awakening, before you have claimed your devotion to actually being free, to being what you actually are, there'll be hesitations and there'll be things come up like guilt and anger and fear as your ego tries to manage your life to happiness. It will fail. You'll know that there's a better way. But when you have claimed your devotion to spirit, when you have claimed your devotion to actually being free, not getting free, no, that's still the ego who wishes it were free. I said being free. When you claim your devotion to being free, then there's totally a shift in perception. It's truly a different experience. You claim your devotion then because you know that it's true. This is what the power of a holy instant in A Course in Miracles is, that you have a shift in inner perception, an inner shift about your inner life. A holy instant does not change things outside of you. It changes inside of you. And then it's very easy after a holy instant. And from then on, any other, you recognize a holy instant for the power that it is and that you did it. It did not come from the book or Jesus or Buddha or anybody else. You did it. Once that happens, then the devotion is very easy because it's genuine and it's personal. And you know that it's not borrowed or it wasn't an accident. You chose free. You were free. Life happened and you're still free. You're still free. Oh my God, what the book says is true? Then it's very easy to claim your devotion. Now you just must have vigilance not to move away from it. What do you got, Ross?
And I was going to say no comparisons with anybody else's journey, because it's your journey.
Nice.
And however it looks to you, that's how your journey is. You can't say, oh, it should go X, Y, Z. No, it's going to go, my case, it's going to go Ross's way to getting rid of, well, not getting rid of, but what does the course say? Going beyond, that's one of your phrases, going beyond the Ross character.
Yes.
And realizing, oh, wait a minute. My journey of the Ross character was only to get me beyond. So I was pretending and making things up to get to be in the Ross character, to get beyond the Ross character. If that makes sense.
It does make sense because it's personal.
Yeah.
You can't wake up for somebody else. You can't make somebody else wake up, and you can't do it their way.
Nope.
That's the beauty of oneness, is that there are no duplicates. You're you. You got to do you. It's also your contribution to oneness and to love, is for you to extend the gift that is given you. It is you. Absolutely right. Beautiful, Ross. I love it. Teach us that over and over again. I love it. Bring it again and again. So, Axel, tell us, how'd you find us, and what's your history with Course, and who are you?
I came across the Course in 1983. Didn't have a clue as to what it was, and but was very drawn to it, and didn't have no one to study with, no internet then. So anyway, so I lost it, and then I picked it up again. I picked it up and lost it. I bought the books, the three books, when it used to be three books, four times, and then in 2010, a huge crisis, and I turned to it again. That didn't do it. And then 7 years ago, a huge crisis, I turned to it again. And then I got antidepressants and everything. And they worked. They were wonderful. I had 2 years of real emotional stability. And then I went off the antidepressants in early last spring. I knew that this stuff needed to come up. I knew. Antidepressants can't keep it down.
Uh-huh.
And I knew. And so I went off the antidepressants, and everything came up. Turned to the Course again. But in October, I got very, very sick. And I've been going through hell. Just hell. And in October, I got very sick, and it brought me to my knees. That did it. And I realized I couldn't go on this way. And ever since then, I am doing the Course.
Excellent. Welcome, Axel. What would a spiritual calling look like for one who is busy with the world, with its problems and its fears and its sicknesses and its challenges? It's going to be in the language you can understand. Course says that problems reoccur to us as opportunities to make correction. Just as you were describing to us, Axel. Now, because there's obviously, if you bought the books four times,
five
times. I mean, how many doorstops do you need?
Well, then I give them away.
Oh,
and then I'd buy them again and give them away, and then I'd buy,
So there's something somewhere, somehow. A Course in Miracles seems significant to you. Something in there spoke to you. Even way back long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so you thought it's another way. So this is what a calling to a spiritual awakening would look like in your case. Looks like your life. Welcome, and I hope you join us anytime you feel like it. Come or go as you please. We're here every Thursday night. And if you're not on my email list to get the announcement, I don't recognize your name. Did I add you already? Did we email?
No.
Okay.
No.
So hang around, and then afterwards, if you like what you see, we have an email list that'll tell you what paragraph we're going to study the following on that Thursday. Okay. So welcome again to A Course in Miracles. Yes, Luann.
I just wanted to say, Axel, my story is almost like yours, except I never gave them away. I just kept, every time I moved, I'd move them with me. And finally, I never used them at all because I tried a class one time. It was awful for about a month. And then someone told me about Andrew, and he has them all, three books in one now. So I bought seven from him so I can give them to my family.
Excel, do you have a modern version where the paragraphs are numbered?
I've got my little... Yes.
It's red.
Oh, I covered it.
Oh, you did? Oh, very good.
Yeah, so it wouldn't get... This is...
Oh, look at over,
it's ancient. It's old.
Are the paragraphs numbered?
Yeah.
Perfect. Good.
Oh, what are you on tonight?
Well, we're on page 477, the branching of the road. So we're picking up on paragraph 2, picking up where we left off last week. And this is a chance for you, this section, I mean, among other things that are in here, but a chance for you to claim your devotion. A chance for you to, it's you'll let go of the ego's promises. The ego will continue to make promises throughout your life. There's going to be people, there's going to be institutions, there's going to be family, there's going to be habits of saying how you can make a better world that will bring you the happiness you seek. But one day, the switch gets thrown. One day you come to a branching in the road where you say, oh no, not again. I am not going to try to make a better world to find the happiness I seek. I choose now to pursue the lightness in my heart that I found during a holy instant somewhere. And I will apply that. I'll call on the Holy Spirit now. And I will take a turn that does not follow the way the ego has shown me my whole life. This is a wonderful free moment. Or many moments. When you choose not to follow the avoidance of fear, not to follow the invitation of anger, not to drown in jealousy, or whatever ego flavor it is. If it's not perfectly peaceful, you're torturing yourself, and there's a better way. What good news, huh? That's what we're doing. That's what we're working on. Let's work it up some. Mark, when you're ready, would you get to page 477 in the text? This is chapter 22, section 4, the branching of the road, chapter 22, section 4, paragraph 2.
Section 4?
The branching of the road.
Do you want me to start at the beginning, number one?
Would you please read one and two?
Okay. Thanks for asking. The branching of the road. When you come to the place where the branch and the road is quite apparent, you cannot go ahead. You must go either one way or the other. For now, if you go straight ahead, the way you went before you reached the branch, you will go nowhere. The whole purpose of coming this far was to decide which branch you will take now. The way you came no longer matters. It can no longer serve. No one who reaches this far can make the wrong decision, although he can delay. And there is no part of the journey that seems more hopeless and futile than standing where the road branches and not deciding on which way to go.
Yes. Like living.
Yeah. It is but the first few steps along the right way that seem hard. For you have chosen, although you still may think you can go back and make the other choice. This is not so. A choice made with power of heaven to uphold it cannot be undone. Your way is decided.
There will be nothing you will not be told if you acknowledge this.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
What good news he brings in that paragraph. Now, first, Jesus counseled, paragraph 2, sentence 1. It's but the first few steps along the right way. Just the first few that seem hard. Because your habit, of course, is going with the ego, which ego is like anger, attack, or defense. The old ego saws appear to be obviously what everybody does in this situation. You raise your voice, you make your point, and if they don't seem to get your point, you repeat yourself louder, you know, the old ego way. That kind of communication can go on for hours and just be chaotic. Course in Miracles says there is another way, for example. There is a peaceful way to communicate more effectively that involves things like trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, joy. And when you're doing your communication with your loved one, defenselessness, generosity, gentleness, patience. Open-mindedness is so helpful, it's contagious. Yeah. There's a better way.
Yeah.
Tim, what do you got?
I have to chuckle because it must have been 20 years ago, but at the top in the margins of this page, I've got red pill versus blue pill. So that must have been when Neo was making his choice in those movies.
Wow.
It was a while ago.
I guess so.
It still works for that first paragraph.
What was your notation?
Just red pill versus blue pill.
Oh, the Matrix.
The Matrix. Yeah, I didn't write Matrix because I wouldn't feel that belonged in a holy book like this, you know. But I would. This is scrawled with notes, you know, just everywhere.
It belongs in this book because the meaning you gave it was making the decision for branching in the road. Would you choose to go back with the familiar and keep treading water until finally you give up? Or would you choose freedom and take the blue pill? I think it deserves it plenty. Tons of spiritual books were written around the Matrix because of this nice illustration of choosing to see beyond the body, of getting out of your habitual thinking that just has you circling and circling and circling with your spiritual eye closed. I'm trying to open you.
And for Excel, here's a wood grain cover.
It's wood grain. Yeah,
that's how old the book is, you know. This one, it looks like on the inside, it's just one you can't see, but it's just, it's the original. I've got others. It's funny.
This paragraph is one that makes me feel good because I know I've chosen. And I know, therefore, if I get off the path, I'll be back on it sometime. Hopefully,
yes.
Even later.
That's right. Yes. And Luann, try to remove whatever's blocking the microphone on your device. You're awfully quiet.
Okay. Did I remove it?
You did. You helped it quite a bit.
That book did it, not me.
Well, it's better. Course in Miracles was in your way.
That's right.
It can be. The Course can be in your way. It's just a book. It's not really a holy book. It's a holy pointer. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's but the first few steps along the right way that seem hard. Now, that's Jesus telling you. Let me just clarify that sentence. The first few steps in the right way are hard. Of course, they're hard. They're simple. You may even approach them eagerly, but doing anything differently is hard. He recognizes that you're an egomaniac. That's why you came back to A Course in Miracles. That's why you're studying this book. That's why you carry around a book with 1,300 pages and no pictures. And you keep with it. Because there is a light in you that is devoted And he says, I can do this. I can do this. But it's hard because your habit is to do the ego thing. Get a massage from the ego. Fear, anger, guilt, jealousy, worthlessness, whatever flavor your ego is serving up, you will not do, even though the circumstances seem to call for it. If you've got the injection in your vein here, if you found peace and happiness with your work with A Course in Miracles, you're ready to stay at peace, to choose peace instead of these ego flavors, thereby reinforcing your choice for lightness of being, and then your awakening, your enlightenment is on the way. You've chosen a branch in the road, and your whole life, your whole existence from that point forward now is empowered by your own mind to choose peace, to be more peaceful. Okay, first few steps have seemed hard. Although you still think you can go back and make another choice, sure. Now, sentence two is very short. It says, this is not so. What's not so? You can't go back and do the ego way anymore. You see, once you've had this holy instant I'm talking about where you had a miracle shift in perception that said, you know, I could actually choose peace. Let's say, for example, then a situation comes up and life is hard and you just don't follow the ego. You do choose peace. And you took a breath of spiritual air with the Holy Spirit. And you said, I'm still here and I feel empowered. I'm going to continue peacefully and make my decisions, my communication, and not defend myself and not attack, but still live, right? Not crawling in a dark closet. And you get more empowered by your choices. Once that happens, anywhere along your path, you cannot go back fully now to the way of the ego, because you will feel like you're lying. So I did get angry, but I know I didn't have to. See, before Course in Miracles, you got angry because you said, I was already angry. I didn't have a chance to choose peace. I was already angry, you say. But once you've had this empowerment that A Course in Miracles brings you to, now it's a lie. For you to be completely victim, it's impossible. Because you once saved yourself. By choosing peace, by choosing freedom, by acknowledging, you know, I remember doing that workbook lesson. I'm not upset for the reason I think. And this person who's yelling at me, I think it's true for them too. Even though they're not a Course in Miracles student, they're not even upset for the reason they think. So why would you defend or attack the situation when you know that they're talking about their past and they're not upset for the reason they think? Wouldn't you be more patient? Wouldn't you? Isn't that more honest? Once you've done your Course in Miracles work, isn't it more honest that to see that this person is calling for love, not attack? Do you see? It's a lie for you to chase somebody else's ego and defend yours. So that's a short little sentence, but that's the celebration that Jesus is saying. If you have done this work and you've chosen your self-empowerment, then you can't actually ever go back. You can deny the truth. You can say the words. You can have arguments. But in your heart of hearts, you do not go back. Your awakening has begun. A choice made with the power of heaven to uphold it cannot be undone. Your way is decided. Leanne, what do you got?
I remember one time when I was in my ego, and I pretty much, this is true almost all the time now. I was in my ego, and when I'm in my ego, I don't feel very good. And what I know, Ben, that it's like I'm not doing this the ACM way, ACIM way, but I would like to do all the time. It's like I remember that I don't want to do it this way and don't feel good that I have done it that way. And it feels good to remember.
That's it. Wonderful. Thank you for that celebration.
So I think that for me was the first complete step, was to remember that the way I'm doing it now is not how I really want to do it.
Yep. You know there's another way. And that's really the essence of the sentence I just read, which is a choice made with the power of heaven. Heaven is capitalized here. Heaven in A Course in Miracles is like a code word. A code word for understanding. Understanding the truth. And you hear the resignation in Luann's voice. She says, I know when I go with A Course in Miracles choosing peace, I am more powerful and more peaceful. And it's what I want to do. My ego habit maybe had me go some other way, but not for long. Not for long. So she's had a miracle occur. She has made the choice for peace, for a lighter way of being, for not reacting to fear every single time. She has made a choice with the power of heaven, with the power of understanding.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you might have to get closer to your microphone, Luann, or play with the microphone to turn it up.
I don't know how to play with anything without wrecking it.
Oh, that's great.
It's already better.
Yeah.
Maybe I just had it too far away.
You might be too far away. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to say to Luann, I really like what you said about when you said, I know that I don't want to do, like, you know that you don't want to do it the other way. You want to do it the ACIM way. And I think that to me, you know, was just great to hear, for me to remember that also. Say, I don't know, I don't really want to do it. To come to that place where we truly want to do it another way. And that's an important, so I just want to acknowledge that, Luann. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Jacqueline. And what I do when I realize I've
Lean in, Luann.
What? What I do when I have to project, it's not really the microphone, it's me. I can have a soft voice, my southern is coming out, or I can project and then people can hear me. Could you tell the difference then?
Yeah.
Okay. When I find myself doing the same kind of ego thing more than once or twice or however many times I do it, then I do sit down and say, what is it about this that it's causing me to do that? What is it I'm missing here? That my ego has got me going.
But you know, as Jacqueline said, you've arrived at a place in your mind that says you want to do it the ACIM way. You might even wonder, what is the lesson for today? Can I apply that to my troubles that have shown up at 2:00?
All I have to do is open it up to section of lessons, and whatever pops up is the right one.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Nice. Well, you have the tool, Luann. You have the tool, and it's available to you. And now you have the habit of choosing it, which means your own self-empowerment, your self-empowerment showed up. To be free, self-empowerment, not to be an egomaniac and cause more chaos and depression in your life. A Course in Miracles says, this is a quote, you can give it up as easily as you made it up.
Right.
Sometimes he just puts it right in your face. But you know it's true. Once you've had this miracle, forgiveness, holy instant relief, you know this book said is true. And now you can't turn back. Remember what we says on page 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1? It's kind of like a sense of humor, I think. Such a serious topic. Flip to 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. Keep your finger here, though, because we're coming right back. So, you remember I talked about your devotion? Part of your devotion to your A Course in Miracles and to your lighter way of living is that you do not follow the ego. You choose to follow this sense of freedom that you found somewhere along the way. So, Tim, when you get there, are you chapter and verse, or do you have the book? Oh, you have the book. I saw it. Go to page 298, sentence 7. In fact, in this case, we can read the whole paragraph. So paragraph 7, please.
The last time you tried to talk, you were muted.
All right. I got your mute. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you. And thank you, Loya. You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who made them necessary.
Okay, do you see the little circle there where the you who's reading the book is the egomaniac who said there must be a better way? It's you who made the miracles necessary. You who are dedicated to what? Dedicated to, you see,
self-destruction, suffering, ignorance, boom, avoiding the truth.
Boom, boom. Yes. Using attack to get your way, defending yourself because you think that's the right way to peace. Assigning guilt to either yourself or somebody else. You think that's what's called for. Yep. Yeah. Yep. You made, now you need a miracle. If you think guilt or anger is the way to peace, then you need a miracle, a shift in perception. You need it. You need an adjustment, a correction. Please continue, Tim.
It'd be nice if there was a visual device to denote when we're talking about the ego in the way that capital letters make it clear that we're talking about the right mind.
Thank you.
You cannot be your guide to miracles, for it is you who made them necessary. And because you did, the means on which you can depend for miracles has been provided for you. God's son can make no needs his father will not meet. If he but turn to him ever so little, yet he cannot compel his son to turn to him and remain himself.
Oh my God, you just defined God. Tim just told us in that sentence, defined God. Tim, read that sentence again, and let's soak up that clue to what God is.
He cannot compel his son to turn to him and remain himself.
Meaning that if God did something to change you or clip your freedom in any way, God would no longer be God.
Well, the curriculum is not up to us, but the time we choose to take it is. Right? That's free will, as the Course defines it. It is impossible that God lose his identity, for if he did, you would lose yours.
Because you are an extension of God.
Today's lesson, I am blessed as the Son of God, every 10 minutes, right?
Nice.
So, in being yours, he cannot change himself, for your identity is changeless. The miracle acknowledges his changelessness by seeing his son as he always was, and not as he would make himself. The miracle brings the effects that only guiltlessness can bring, and thus establishes the fact that guiltlessness must be.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Can I ask a question about that last sentence?
Yeah, sure.
That guiltlessness must be eternally always us as an ego?
Say that. I can barely hear you. What's that?
Okay, what the heck is going on? When the last part of the miracle brings the effects that only guiltlessness can bring, and thus establishes that fact that guiltlessness must be. And guiltless, we've been told that we're really not guilty. We make mistakes, but God doesn't think of us as guilty. We don't.
Yeah, because a miracle deals with error. A miracle is not holy. It only deals with errors, correction of errors.
So it's always available to us.
You can always find the truth everywhere. But you will have to move the error aside. For example, that person was attacking me personally when they said that horrible thing. There's an error there. That person was calling for love.
Personally.
What's that?
How about I have to move aside when I say I was attacking myself
personally. Yeah, that's the truth. So there's a miracle. That's a correction. Now, guiltlessness shows itself. That person's not guilty for you being unhappy. And you're not guilty for making you unhappy because you were pretending to be unhappy. And you can discover that what I just said is true anytime you seriously come into the present moment. In order for you to be unhappy, you need time. You need time to regret or time to project a bad future. But if you come into the present moment, you will not be unhappy. There is no time in the present moment to be unhappy. There's only time in the present moment to be exactly as you were created. This is the beauty of meditation. You can step out of time in a meditation and discover your freedom. And all you're trying to do is just get into the present moment. You say, okay, let me get in the present. Let me get in the present. Let me stop thinking about trying to get into the present. You know, work it. And you let go of the idea of time. And you just look what's in between your thoughts, in between your breaths. And you find a lightness of being. Shows how free you actually are.
Andrew?
Yep.
I was just thinking about, it says that guiltlessness must be, really what that is, it's putting in words for the ego perspective what innocence is. I mean, guiltlessness is innocence.
Nice.
Right? So, because we see that guiltlessness a lot in here, but it's the innocence that we are eternally, everything is and always will be.
Nice, so Jacqueline. I love it.
Yeah, just noticing that.
The truth of innocence. The truth of innocence. Not the coming of innocence at all. Just the fact that it always is and always was and always shall be because it is how you were created as an extension of the power of everything. Innocent. The truth of innocence.
And he uses guiltlessness because we're working with the ego.
Nicely said. Nicely done, Jacqueline. Absolutely. Yeah. Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. So guiltlessness, it's that term itself, is a miracle. A shift in perception about your idea of guilt. Because the word is guiltlessness, not guiltless. Guiltless still is regarding guilt, and I'm not guilty. I could have been guilty, but I'm not guilty. That's guiltless. Guiltlessness means there isn't even guilt to be guilty of. Innocence has shown itself. I love the way you call that out, Jacqueline. The truth of innocence is how you were created. You need a miracle to see that. But it's all over the book. Once you start opening your eyes, like Jacqueline has here, it's all over the place supporting your understanding. Your making decisions with the power of heaven. Heaven says that you must be innocent if you are an extension of God. The ego says you can be guilty because it made you a body that can be maltreated or maltreat somebody else that can lose. Course in Miracles says, wait. No. Swap lose for love. You've just followed the ego once again on a dark path. Course in Miracles says, the fact is, you're not even a body. You're actually free. Why? Well, because in truth, you're exactly as God created you. Not as you made yourself. You need a miracle and a spiritual awakening, but that's exactly what we're doing. Just like Jacqueline pointed out for us, you see what's underneath it all. Beautifully done, Jacqueline. Okay, good, good. All right, back to page 477. Paragraph 2. Sentence 3. A choice, branching in a road is a choice made with the power of heaven, the power of understanding in this case, that innocence is. Just because you're not looking at it doesn't mean that it's gone. Jacqueline just told us, innocence is. In fact, innocence has to be. If what the book said is true, which is teach only love for that is what you are, or what the book says is true, which is you're actually an extension of God and you're pretending not to be. You're pretending to be separate from all that is. So what the book said is true, that innocence is actually everywhere. And you can stop running from it. Jacqueline is choosing not to run from innocence anymore, no matter what her body's eyes show her. That's a slice of heaven. Good, good, good. The choice made with the power of heaven to uphold it cannot be undone. It can't be undone because it's truth. It's based on truth, like what Jacqueline said. Innocence is everywhere. It simply is true. So when you choose things based on their essential innocence, not what it appears to happen because they stole your purse or lied to you or whatever. No, you got to look beyond that and live your life from there. Your way is decided. That's your devotion, folks. You agree to the freedom that you know you have. I said, you agree to the freedom that you already know you have. And your choice is decided. You can deny it. You can pretend that you're angry. But part of you is not. Because you have awoken. This is what it means to have a spiritual awakening. Is that you're not now wholly material. You are being reborn on a spiritual path. If you're doing a spiritual awakening, that's your gig. It's mine. You're being reborn. To what you really are, which is really powerful and free. Versus victim and waiting for the next problem. There will be nothing you will not be told if you acknowledge this. Exactly what I'm saying. You have to pick that your devotion is true and not move away from it. Then you will not, then there's nothing you will not be told to do. Why? Jacqueline just did it. She just did it. You know, do you remember what she said? She said, innocence is everywhere. I might need my Holy Spirit to translate this ugly situation so I can see it, but I'm going to follow the innocence here. That's what she put down. She was told what to do. That is her path. She's owning it. She's claiming her devotion. In this case, she's choosing the path of innocence. And when something comes up, it looks like it's really harmful and guilty and sinful and ugly. So wait. That really feels dark. It does not feel like a lightness of being. Holy Spirit, show me the innocence. She will be told what to do because she will always be looking for the innocence. But you know, the book will support you all the way through. For example, hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to, I don't know the page number, but I know the lesson number. It's lesson 71. So the first person who gets the page number, shout it out. Okay, go to 122, actually. The lesson's on 121. It's lesson number 71, which is only God's plan for salvation will work. I know you got other plans, Jesus says, but give it up. Only love's plan for salvation will work. Only truth's plan for salvation, of course, will work. Those are other names for God. Of course. Okay, this is a great lesson. We don't have time to do it tonight. But what a sweet lesson. Calls the ego out, just reminding you that it's failed so many times. When are you going to try the simple truth that innocence is everywhere? I mean, what would it be like if you just looked for innocence everywhere for a whole day? And then the next day, that's 2 days. 2 days, all you did was look for innocence. And then three, and then a week went by. And every hour of every day, you stopped and said, I see the innocence. I found it again. What kind of week would that be? That is God's plans for salvation. That's what it would be. And you'll be told exactly what to do and what to think and what to say in each moment because your orientation is for, say it, Jacqueline, say it. What's your orientation in a moment like that? Say it.
Innocence.
Innocence is your guiding light. And if things get dark, you turn on that light. Do you see how simple it is? Inviting the Holy Spirit to coach you. Beautiful. So I just want you to look at how practical the workbook is in a situation like what we're talking about. And so, Ross, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 9 on page 122 in the workbook?
Remembering this, let us devote the remainder of the extended practice periods to asking God to reveal his plan to us. Ask him very specifically, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? So, give him full charge of the rest of the practice period and let him tell you what needs to be done by you in his plan for your salvation. He will answer in proportion to your willingness to hear his voice.
Wow, you got to read that sentence again. It's a caveat. It's fine print in A Course in Miracles. Several places, there's a little fine print. Don't miss it.
He will answer in proportion to your willingness to hear his voice. Refuse not to hear. The very fact that you are doing the exercises proves that you have some willingness to listen. This is enough to establish your claim to God's answer.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ross. Very practical. But you really have to surrender your ideas. Oh, can I remember this page number? Oh, it's been so long. Oh, I don't know. Did I make a note here? Oh, Perfect.
I was listening to what Ross was saying, but I don't think I was reading because I'm not sure I'm on the right page. The right lesson.
You know, that's a workbook. Are you in the workbook, part two?
Yes.
In your page 122?
Oh, I was on 127. No wonder it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Andrew?
Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the words, what are you trying to find, the words?
Oh, there's another prayer in there.
Can you throw out some words?
Yeah. I know, I can only think of, I can only see it in my mind. I can't read it. But yeah. Thank you. Thanks for offering. I'll use that talent if you know how to search the book so easily.
Yeah, it's a website.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to. Yeah. All right. So that not necessary. We got the essence of it here. You have a part to do in releasing your ego, because nobody's going to do that for you. You have to give it up, but that's because you made it up. So there's guidance along the way. Okay, page 477, back at it on paragraph 2. Number 5, there will be nothing you will not be told if you acknowledge this. Love it. How about lesson 135? Turn to lesson 135 in the workbook.
On page.
And you're going to go, in this case, page 255 in the workbook. 255. This is a sweet paragraph.
Is this the lesson you said was the longest in the book?
Yes, it is. This is the longest lesson in the book. It's like Jesus wanted to have 365 lessons. He said, "Oh, I think I better cover 2, 3, or 4 in this one. If we're gonna end at 365, we better pile a bunch in here and there." He piled a bunch in on this one. Yeah, this is chock full of stuff. Good stuff. Paragraph 18. Excel, would you unmute yourself? And when you get there, read for us paragraph 18 on page 255 in the workbook.
What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
Waiting to advise you. If you choose the branching of the road to return to your, as Luann was telling us, I really want to do this the Course in Miracles way. If you choose, there is a light in you that is waiting to coach you, and in this case, to look at innocence. Thank you, Jacqueline. How practical is that? Oh, beautiful. You don't know someplace else beautiful where it says this? Turn back in the text. Turn to page 433 in the text. Let's read some more good news. How you are supported in your journey to not choose the ego, and your encouragement to choose the Holy Spirit perspective of things. You know, what happens? Can I really trust A Course in Miracles? Would it be there when I need it? Maybe you're asking yourself these kind of questions. Well, there's some support. Page 433, paragraph 8. Yeah, we just have to skip the other juice on this page. Another chocked full section. Jacqueline, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us that entire paragraph all the way onto the next page?
Okay, that's 433 in the text.
Yeah, 433 in the text, paragraph 8. Continue.
Okay. You may wonder how you can be at peace when, while you are in time, there is so much that must be done before the way to peace is open.
You see that ego circle of respecting time as a limit? This is your teacher. Your chosen teacher knows how you are living your stinking life. I love it. How encouraging that this book isn't so much holier than thou that it just pretends you're already holy. Course in Miracles is not pretending you're already holy or that you know your freedom. It knows that you're stuck in your ego ways. Jacqueline, please continue.
Perhaps this seems impossible to you, but ask yourself if it is possible that God would have a plan for your salvation that does not work. Once you accept his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort.
Sounds like he's just calling for you to do your part and accept your devotion to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what sadness feels like. You know what anger feels like. He's saying, yeah, try peace. And follow. I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you what to say and to whom. Please continue.
He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you, not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the only purpose that you would fulfill. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than a son of God?
See that little sentence 11? It rests on you. What is this you that Jesus is so certain about? Could it be that you're actually innocent? Could that be that Jesus' perspective, the author of this book, your older brother, the awakened mind that sees from the perspective of one, knows that you actually are a vector of innocence as a co-creator? He's no problem. He's no problem. You're the one who's making up a problem. There's some pretty heavy metaphysics in A Course in Miracles, as you know. There are some pretty major statements in A Course in Miracles, as you know. And when you come across them, you'll be doing your reading, you're trying to understand these paragraphs that have multiple levels of awakening built into most paragraphs, okay? So don't try to understand everything all at once. Just get what you can and keep reading to see that what you do understand is supported in the next paragraph. I'll speak for myself. I'm on a spiritual journey. I read a lot of books, been to India, Buddhism, all that kind of stuff, on and on and on and on. I'm studying A Course in Miracles now, and I've studied the same book for 30 years. I'm still finding new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps revealing. I keep seeing more layers. I mean, sometimes I'm amazed the book is not longer. For all the gifts that it's given me. And I've read longer books that don't have as much to offer as this one. I've read longer books that don't have much to offer as a single lesson in this book. So really take your questions to heart and take them into this book and challenge this book with your most difficult questions. Oh, good night, Tim. We're going to miss you. Well, not for long, huh? We're going to, but not yet. We're going to miss you, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Bye, Tim. I have a question, Andrew.
Yes, please.
Back on 255, that paragraph, and I've asked about this thing before in different ways, but the what could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. So we are, some part of our mind, the one mind, is projecting into the world, right, all events and things that happen, past, present, and to come. And so it seems like, okay, that's the wrong-minded doing that, the wrong mind aspect of the mind. So, but this is like saying that, you know, also the eternal is gently plant, you know, involved in that. Does my question make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. In fact, it's really honest. If you read that paragraph and don't have that question, you're not paying attention.
Wait a minute, what?
You're not paying attention. If you don't ask this question, then
I am riddled with ego. Could I hear the question again, please?
Good, Axel. Thank you. Jacqueline.
Well, and what I'm understanding, the Course in Miracles, that some aspect of my mind, which is the mind that's separated, is kind of projecting everything that I see, all the events, the, you know, all the things that happens, somehow, you know, I'm responsible for what I made here at that level. But this is also saying, it sounds to me, that behind that or in the midst of that or the foundation of that is planned by one whose only purpose is your good. Now, I understand that all events and everything that happens, when I shift my perspective to the right perspective, then it can be for my good because I can correct it. I can have a miracle of correction.
Yes.
But it also seems like the source, the eternal source, is part of that projection. I don't know, somehow involved in the projection.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, Jacqueline, you got your fingers right on it.
So
I am tempted not to say anything.
Okay, well.
Because this is an awakening for you. If you turn that, look at what you just said. Remember, God, whatever God is everywhere all the time. My dear, all the time. Even in your dreaming. The idea that there is negativity or sin or something wrong, that's the fantasy. The idea that love is somehow blocked anywhere successfully, that's the fantasy. It's the only thing you need to correct is that you can actually escape love and block the awareness of love's presence everywhere. That's the big miracle. It's on page one. It's the big miracle. And you got your fingers right on it in your question. Mark, what do you got? I got your mute. Go ahead.
It's just kind of reminding me back to where you started us, the branch in the road.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what I thought about that was there is no choice we can make that's wrong.
That's true. There's no choice where you can go wrong.
Because we are eternally as we were created. And that means that's where we just have to realize that. It's not so much that it's not true right now.
You've made the ability to delay or to block love, but love still is. And you're not waiting for it. It is. Ross, what do you got?
Just what came up for me was worrying about it is what makes the problem. Really, there's nothing happening that's anything wrong. Except if you worry about it or think about it or try to plan it or try to rehearse it in your mind, that's what causes the problem. Otherwise, there's really, it's just a dream in your mind. You're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So what if you get one crooked? It's still leading, you know, in the world, it's still leading to that iceberg. So just
if you get a crooked
chair, don't worry about it.
A crooked chair in the hands of the ego is imperfection. A crooked chair in the hands of the Holy Spirit is a chance for more love. There's no neutral. There's no neutral. Experiences of God, and you're gonna choose to deny God, deny love, and take fear, hate, anger. Or you're going to choose to look for the innocence in the crooked chair and have it translated to a beautiful thing. This is up to you. You're at a branch in the road. Any time that you feel contraction or darkness from now on, if it wasn't already in place, we're putting it in place right now. Anytime for the rest of your lives, if you feel any darkness come on, stop. Stop. Take a breath. Look for the innocence instead. And say, I insist on my freedom right now. And you will get it. This is your devotion we're talking about. This is opening your spiritual eye, your spiritual ears, and closing your limited thoughts. Sometimes, if you're really in trouble, something really, really ugly is happening, at least you can stop before you proceed. And maybe, I'm not saying you're going to, if it's really bad, maybe you're not up to this, but you might have the ability to stop and say these spiritual invitational words. I do not know what this is for. See, the ego is worried because it thinks it does know and it's gone down the rabbit hole. Wants to take you with it. But if you say, I, whatever I am right now, I don't actually know where this is going. There's a great paragraph. You remember it. I don't have it memorized yet, but it calls out basically what Ross says. It says, would you know how many times you thought you knew you were right, but you were wrong? You were right about how bad this is going to be. Oh, this is a problem. This is a problem. And it wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem. In fact, if you have Luann tell you about her divorce, it was the best thing that ever happened to her. Really needed to happen.
One of the four best things. One of the four best things.
Oh, one of the four. Sorry, I shouldn't say the best. Yeah. It's high on the list.
It's equal to all the other fours and higher than a couple of them.
You don't know, see? Your ego thinks it already knows, and that's what empowers depression and anger and sadness. You're not afraid of what you don't know. You're afraid of what you do know. You're not afraid of what you don't know. It's a quote from the Course. I don't have that memorized either. But you're not afraid of the unknown. This is a quote. You're not afraid of the unknown. You're afraid of the known. See, truly unknown means you're clueless. You don't even know what to be worried about. See how simple that is? Your ego says, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen. But you're already thinking something bad's going to happen. See, you know it could be bad because you don't already have it figured out. You're not trusting. You're not open-minded. Yeah. Well, I think now that we've had this little discussion, we need to read a paragraph. We're happen to be right here. If you were following Jacqueline, go back into the workbook onto page 254, and we're back to Mark. I got your mute mark. Would you read for us paragraph 15? Paragraph 15 on lesson 135.
Lesson 135.
Oh, my goodness. That's one I stayed with for about 2 weeks.
15?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The mind.
Yes, sir.
The mind engaged in planning for itself is occupied in setting up control of future happenings. Okay. It does not think that it will be provided for unless it makes its own provisions. Time becomes a future emphasis to be controlled by learning and experience obtained from the past events and previous beliefs. It overlooks the present, for it rests on the idea the past has taught enough to let the mind direct its future course.
And read us one more sentence from the next paragraph.
Okay. The mind that plans is thus refusing to allow for change.
You'll get what you've always got. Think you know your ego and its fear or its anger, its contraction. Thinks it knows how to handle this situation. I'll get back to my Course in Miracles tomorrow after I handle this assholey person in my life with some good insults, some good pointing out of how they could have loved me more and they should have. Things like that will get you in so much more trouble. It's the ego. Yeah.
That's like saying, there's nothing about this that I understand. There's nothing that I know. Whatever that saying is that you just said a little while ago.
I do not know.
I do not know anything.
I do not know what anything, including this, means.
And if I remember that, then I might as well stop planning.
You might as well switch to trust.
Switch to trust.
The ego does not want to do that, but you can. Switch to the bigger picture. So, you know, love always prevails eventually. And I think I'll start right now looking for it. Turn back to 298. In the text. It's one of our toolbox items. Where things get really bad. And you just need some help. In what to do. How do I unhook from my ego's worrying, my ego's anger, my ego's fear? Look at the italics on the top of page 298. Mark, this is chapter 14, section 11, paragraph 6, the italics.
Yeah, we do come here almost every time.
We should. We should. Almost. It's so practical. It's so practical.
Yeah.
So, Luann, read for us those italics.
I'll try to talk loud.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, lean in.
Can you hear me now?
It's better when you lean in. Yeah, thank you.
Well, how come I have to be so darn close? Because, alrighty. I do not know what anything, including this, means. And so, I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learnings as the light to guide me now.
Wow, that is just asking for correction and inviting a new way. Ross, what do you got? Hang on, I got your mute. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I thought I was muted. I was just thinking that something Eckhart Tolle said was, well, it doesn't mean you don't plan to go to grandma's house. You know, there's some practical to it. You know, you've got, okay, I got to go to the store and get groceries so I have something to eat in my house. But, I mean, something in there is telling me it's more about the spiritual aspect of it more than whether you go to grandma's house or buy groceries. It's more like when things go wrong, you don't want to get like invested in, no, I have to go to grandma's house. No. Something else came up. You need to go with what's happening in the world and realize you're not invested in that.
Invested, exactly.
You're a spiritual being having a human experience. And yeah, you've got to, you, this, you think you're a body, so you might as well follow the rules of the world and feed it, exercise it, sleep it. But don't be invested in that. You may not get the sleep that you think you need. You may, at when you need it, you'll get it, but not, it'll just kind of happen and kind of
flow. I have to get to grandma's house and I have to get asleep by 8 so I can enjoy the morning with grandma the next day. And there's problems on the road. There's a flat tire. You get to grandma's house by 10. There's no way you're going to go to sleep at 8. Therefore, you think you're going to be cranky. Therefore, everything's wrong. And you're going to find somebody who was supposed to change the tires and didn't.
Yeah, something. There's a middle, it's kind of a middle flow to your human life that's directed by your spiritual life.
Yes. See, it's okay. Not that you would plan practical things. It's that you would plan things that will make you happy. That's why it must happen this way so that I can be happy. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. Something I always tell myself is, yeah, this is really great, but more of this isn't going to make me happy.
Yeah, that's very Zen. That's very Zen. You take one sip of the tea, and really, that's done. There's a whole cup.
Move on.
There's a whole cup. One perfect sip, it's really done.
Also, I wanted to add, you know, if you think about it, I was thinking about it. So I say, I'm going to go to grandma's house, but maybe I'm thinking, oh, it'll be so nice, sit there and have tea with grandma, we'll talk, whatever. And then I get there and she's in crisis or something. I mean, it's the subtleties of the situation or what the, you know, staying present and open to how it's going to unfold as opposed to the picture we have in our mind of the plan.
Nicely said.
That's the other layers of the planning, right?
Perfectly said. Yes. Let it unfold. What do you got, Mark?
I just had this thought what Ross was saying. Because he says, don't justify your anger. So you don't justify your trip to the grocery store or but don't justify the belief in the separation ever happened. So your whole, just, you know, let it go. You're just there for the ride. Don't justify any of your whole image or the separation that from God.
Yep, you're there for the ride, but now, since you're already in the car, you're already headed to grandma's house, who's going to be doing the driving in your mind? The ego looking for getting to sleep at 8 or else? Or a sense of peace and open-mindedness that goes with the flow and looks for helpfulness and love wherever it can find it? Can I be helpful? Can I give love? Can I see innocence? As this police officer pulls me over? Or am I going to get fearful and angry? I mean, it's really up to you. There's a branching in the road right there. And you change your mind, you change your life. That's the message. That's our message. Good, Mark. Good, good, good. Okay. Let's see if we can clean up anything here before we go. There's one more thing I want us to look at before we leave this paragraph. And that's that first sentence right there. Jesus knows that, you'll complete. This is a little circle of how mind works. You will complete what you start. You will have the tendency to complete what you start, whatever it is. Watch the ego on this. Let's say you're having a discussion and it starts to turn into an argument. If you let your ego start to point out the other person's past failures because it's convenient, you open your mouth. You said, well, I'm just going to complete the story because, you know what? The last time this happened, you did. I know I was supposed to do this time, but last time, you didn't. You just went right out of the situation. You'll complete what you start. Careful. It's a matter of, it's a tactic of the ego. So part of the recognizing the better way in the branching of the road is to stop. Even mid-sentence, if you find yourself going dark, stop. And people say, wait, what? Why did you stop speaking? Luann, what do you say when you're saying the wrong thing and you catch yourself? You're halfway to insulting somebody and you think, I don't even want to. I love this person.
You remember, you keep forgetting, I have no memory at all. But this is what I would guess I would say. I guess I would say, well, I'm sorry. How would you do it? Or what would you do about this? Or something to that effect.
Why did you stop? You didn't even finish your sentence. What happened there? And you say, I just caught myself. I was about to say something I didn't even mean.
Oh, okay. So I should go back to what I first said at the beginning of the meeting.
That's how you step off the wrong road and you go peaceful and go to the right road and say, why don't you tell me again how that made you feel? I'm really sorry this happened. Tell me more so I can share with you the mistake that we've got going here. I don't want to ignore it. And they say, well, here's what happened. And what you said this, and I felt this way. And that gives you a chance to back off and stop defending yourself. Let them go. Let them get it off their chest. Say your apologies like a normal person, but know that you are just about to attack yourself and them. Go for the innocence instead. But I'll tell you, if you don't stop, the Course in Miracles knows that you will continue to bring more darkness into your life. Quick, as a way to end the meeting, we have just enough time to read this. Go to page 494, paragraph 22. I know, I go here a lot. But that's because it's really practical. And it's one of the few things I actually have memorized. Well, one of the many things.
You have everything memorized when I first knew you.
I know, it's kind of, I have a lot of things memorized, but there are so many more. You know,
by the way, Exo, I'm hoping you're coming back.
Yeah, we're so welcome. Welcome to our meeting. Anytime you want to join
us. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Luann. So, Exo, would you read for us page 494, paragraph 22? This is the practicality of A Course in Miracles at work. It's calling out your ego habits. And he's going to tell you, says, watch it. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are.
Yeah. And they will. Now wait, before you continue, if we had a little more time, I would have had you start up earlier. So we have you back up. And just read one sentence, the last sentence from the previous paragraph, because it kind of summarizes what he's been trying to impress on you, which I have been also.
I mean, from paragraph 21, line number 6?
Number 7.
Oh, and where your thinking starts, there must it end.
Uh-oh. Fine print in A Course in Miracles. Busting your ego, and also calling on you to make a spiritual choice instead. How? Because it tells you, it's laying out for you once again, the law of mind. As you give, you receive. You see the circle. As you give, as you think, you will live. The law of love is, in A Course in Miracles, as you give, that's as you receive. So do you see it in this sentence kind of buried there? It says, where your thinking starts, which is mean as you give to your mind a thought, say an anger thought. Let's say it's anger. And your thought is, I need to remind this person how bad they were last year. Before we go on with our conversation, I need to tell you how mad I was with you last year. You're about to give anger, aren't you? You're about to give an attack, aren't you? Oh, I forgive you. I don't hold it against you, but let me tell you how bad you were. See, that's the ego's forgiveness. You see, you're bringing up the negativity. You're not taking the branch for peace on this road. That short little sentence, and where your thinking starts, there it must end. In other words, you will complete what you start. It's from the source. Cause and effect are not separated, folks. It's metaphysics. Cause and effect are not separated. If your thought starts with anger, it will end with anger. Unless you forgive it. Unless you stop mid-sentence and let it go and come back with a loving thought, your anger thought will come through and complete. So now we're ready for Excel to read us number 22.
Okay. Brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are. And they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Wow. Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way you go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend to join with you and give you certainty of where you go.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Excel.
Would you define friend?
When friend is capitalized, it's the Holy Spirit or Jesus.
Okay, thank
Jesus
you.
Is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
I thought it was you.
Well, I'm your friend too. You guys ever notice, like, this paragraph says, you want to choose the goal of heaven. And you notice there's a stairway to heaven, but there's a highway to hell. In our musical. All right, that's my little joke between heaven and hell. All right, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Very important. Let's do it again next week. And hey, look for the innocence every day, starting now, and then repeat tomorrow. And then 3 days in a row would be great. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you, Andrew.
I'll be back, Excel, so please say you are.